And this morning is a part of all of us sharing into that. Let's be sensitive to him. When I get down, I know some of us like to share from our seats, so you're not allowed to do that. We'll get security to escort you up here. I want everybody to feel free because of the Zoomers and those that are joining with us, and also for the audio. I think this will be taped as well. So let's just join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you, Lord, for this gathering. Lord, thank you for just ministering your love to us, your strength, Lord. God, Lord, just the ability to have our hearts open, Lord, and ears to hear, as we've said, Lord. God, we need that every moment. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the elders' meeting. God, we know that you met with them and gave them direction and strength, Lord. We know this meeting here is another layer of us sharing, God, your heart towards your people, Lord, and God, preparing us, Lord, for what the days lie ahead of us, God. We thank you for that, Lord. But we pray for a freedom. We pray for, God, discernment, Lord, as we speak, Lord. Lord, to allow others, Lord, to speak, Lord, in a timely manner, God. Just help us in all that, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We just commit this service into your hand. Praise your name. Amen. So whoever feels led on their heart, you know, it's always good to hear from each assembly what the Lord's doing. I'll just put that out there, and we'll see how the Lord leads.
Praise God. Used to at these men's meetings, they would always draft somebody. We may need to go back to the draft. Just some basics. You know, we had a meeting downstairs earlier, and the one thing there was, there's really a theme. I think, Lord, almost all of us to be engaged in. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's the only one can do it, but he wants us to be connected to him through the Holy Spirit and lead us by his Spirit to whatever place he would take us to. Yes. And no matter where we're at, which locale, we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. And everything that we do should be bathed in prayer. Us yielding ourselves to him, going to him, seeking him, because one of the things that was brought out down there is, this is what the Lord said, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. The doors that he opens are not doors we can open. But the doors that he opens, those are productive. We can come up with all kinds of programs and things we can do as a church in our community, but when God leads you, I'll tell you, there's nothing like him. Yeah, he's preparing. One of the things that was brought out too, the Lord works on both ends. You know, when he's going to minister to somebody, he's prepared somebody to be ministered to. You can't predict that. You can't control that. You can't initiate that and make that a productive thing. It has to be the Holy Spirit. You remember when was it Cornelius? And by the way, prayer came into that too. It said that the angel came and told him and said, your prayers and alms have come up as a memorial before God. When we reach out to God, he's listening. Yes. And when we're looking to God, no matter how young or how old and whatever measure of faith we have, listen, prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a privilege. What Jesus said was, when you go to your room and you shut the door behind you, you pray to your Father who's in heaven. And everything that we do or a part of when it comes to the work of God and the plan of God and ministry, he's the only one that can do it. So therefore, we have to be connected to him. He told us to ask for the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we talked about down there too, I'm not just trying to repeat, but there's been several ministries the Lord has brought us supernaturally in touch with, some of it local, some of it abroad, but from people here that live right near us that we never even knew. Not only did he connect us together, but he allows us to participate with them in the ministry God's called them to. But in each case, I've seen this, there's probably three different ones. Each person or ministry, the Lord had prepared them, started doing a work in them, led them. This is a common denominator, led by the Holy Spirit. There is no ministry and no church that can ever get to a point where they can say, well, our brand is this or that. Branding is all right in one sense, but the main thing that's needed is we need the brand of the Holy Spirit. And everyone's job is to preach the gospel. And in meeting and being connected with these different groups, you start seeing that the purpose and the plan of God is much bigger than we dare realize. And his purpose and the way he connects people together, only he can do it. You know, but we are members of one body, And the work the Lord is doing in the earth is something that is supernatural, but it's one that we are all connected to at a very, very just a base level. We ourselves need to stay in contact with the Lord and seek Him. You seek Him as an individual, and even if there's anybody here that's really struggling with prayer, you know what? I still struggle in prayer. But I'll tell you one thing. Jacob struggled, but he prevailed with God. Do you ever notice that when he was wrestling, he wrestled, I guess it was until the dawn, the sun was getting ready to come up, and it was an angel he was wrestling with, and he said, let go of me. But first of all, he said when he saw that he couldn't overcome Jacob, he reached out and touched the hollow of his thigh. He really dislocated his hip. It was after his physical strength was taken away that he got the blessing. But he was still hanging on. Right? He was still hanging on. But the rest of the match was over with. But I tell you what, he prevailed with God because he wouldn't let go. And each one of us, as we seek God, even if you have issues, I don't know why I'm saying this. I just want to share this. When it comes to your relationship with the Lord and seeking Him and getting answers from Him and asking and seeking and knocking, when you do that, that is part of what God has encouraged you and me and all of us to do so that He answers. When He answers, He is something supernatural from heaven. He's going to quicken His word, and He's going to lead you in a way that you couldn't dare imagine. And it's not that you don't ever struggle. We walk by faith and not by sight. We fight the good fight of faith, and there's probably people here right now that are going through some emotional or spiritual struggle, and you don't even want anybody to know about it. You know what? God knows about it. But even in that, He is a faithful God. He is taking us through things so that we can be a help to others. Brother Paul Campbell mentioned this morning, he said, you know, I think the Lord is just now getting us to a place where we can actually minister to others. You know, it's one thing to be shooting up heroin and snorting cocaine. It's just like some of the brethren were saying last night. You know it's wrong. You know you got a big problem. But one of the issues that we have clinging to us is religious dross. It hides itself and masks itself with religion. But Jesus Christ and His power, it's hot enough to burn that away. And when that religion is burned away from us and our self-effort, and we actually lift our hearts to God and yield ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I can't do it. You've shown me that. You're working this in me. To me, it's like religious dross. It contaminates us. But, you know, when we remove that, it takes the blinders off. And also, this attitude we might tend to think that we are better than somebody else. Nobody is. And even the different churches, and I don't care if it's churches, denominations, and ministries, the common theme is Jesus Christ. The gospel is to be, I believe, preached until He splits the eastern sky. It is dark. That's been mentioned several times. It's getting darker. It's obvious. I mean, it's crazy how dark it is. But I'll tell you what, there is a light. It is a bright light, and it's getting brighter. And as these lights come together, I'll tell you what, more of the fullness of Christ is going to be seen. And those who still have a capacity to hear His voice are going to run to that light. We're a part of that. We're a part of that. I don't know if I need to say much more, but it's mainly this. Every person here, if you're looking to God, you're a part of the kingdom of God and the plan and purpose of God. We need to stay connected to Him and continue to ask Him to lead us by His Holy Spirit. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. And the main thing is, if we're called according to His purpose, it's His purpose we're called to. If it's His purpose we're called to, we got to have Him leading the way. He's the one that opens the doors. He's the one that gives us the powers, we've heard, to do what we cannot do. And each person here is a part of that. You're a part of that, and God, I think, is growing us up. He's helping us, and He wants us to grow. And He actually wants us to be thrilled about the prospect of the future. He's a great God. Is He able to really do far beyond what we can think or imagine? He is. We can see it in a measure. One other thing before I sat down, one of the things we were talking about, in the process of being brought to some of these ministries and groups, you start seeing how the Lord is so intricately involved in what He does in building His church. He can do and see. He does, and He sees everything. He sees individuals. He sees them with their needs. He sees them as He's moving them along and maturing them. And when He does something, gosh, it's just so big. God is a big God. He is truly a big God, and truly He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. It says all we ask or think, right? We're to be engaged and realize we're a part of the kingdom. Let's just stay connected to Him. That's all.
My wife and I, we got married around a June convention. So next week, Thursday, it'll be 9 years. But she sent me a sobering message the other day. And I think if you've been married for any length of time, there's times where God has to draw you back together. And she sent me a message. She says, "Why are we so afraid to pray together?" And sometimes we come to that crossroads, and we know, as men, our conscience, we know the answer. And it's sometimes our agenda is so prioritized in our mind, we lose track, we lose connection with God. And God tells us, he says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. You've got to remain in me. You've got to stay connected to me. Because if a branch separates itself from the vine, there's no life going to flow out to it." And I'm telling you, as young men, old men, it doesn't matter. This world pulls on us, and we are constantly inundated with what we think our list of priorities, what needs to be done. And we can explain it away, and we can rationalize, well, I've got to take care of this, and I've got to take care of that. And there is pressure this world will put on us. And as men, sometimes our ego will get in the way, and we'll think, well, I'm a strong, I can take it, anything life throws, I can handle it. And God will allow us to be tried to the point where it breaks us. And we realize, I don't have it within myself to be what I need to be. And I appreciate what Dean said last night, talking about you got two small kids looking up to you, and you realizing you don't have what you need inside yourself for your family. It's the mercy of God that brings us to that realization. Because I prayed there last night. I said, "Lord, my wife doesn't need me. She needs you. My children don't need me. They need you. I need to get off the throne, lay down my life, and let you lead my family." And I believe this goes hand in hand with what has been said. I appreciate Steve getting up. But in Hebrews 4, you're welcome to read that whole chapter. There's a lot of wonderful truth in there. But I'll just pick up in verse 8. "For if Jesus had given them rest," so he's alluding to, their ancestors of Israel, and talking about how there was constantly sacrifices going up that couldn't atone for the sins. But now they know there's a rest that exists in Jesus. "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall into the same example of unbelief." And then it talks, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we get honest with ourselves and we expose what the intentions of our heart is, it will be sober to find we have too much of our own works occupying our thoughts. And I'm guilty. In the morning when I get up and I wake up, my thoughts are immediately consumed with what I need to do today. And it draws me away from where I need to go. I need to go to the source of life. I need to lay down. And okay, so I highlighted another scripture. It talks about, I'll just jump to this real quick. But this is in Matthew chapter 4. So Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on henceforth, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. And I get the sense I'm not the only one that needs to lay their nets down and stop trying to build life that's dedicated to the idols of this world, and I need to focus my thoughts and intentions on first following Jesus Christ and abandon, because the alternative is like where my wife met me at. The devil wants us to prioritize the things of this world, and he starts to separate. And once he gets the shepherd separated from the sheep, he'll start picking them off. And he's attacking families. The family structure of this world is crumbling. He's attacking young children. He's attacking marriages, and it's crumbling. We need a foundation to stand on, and it's Jesus. And we don't need to be building a house unto ourselves on shaky sand. It needs to be built on Jesus, otherwise it will not stand. And I just appreciate the Lord quickening my wife to get to the heart of the matter. Why are we so afraid to pray together? And it's because sometimes I'm too busy casting my own net. And we need to be focused on the kingdom of God and what God's agenda is for this world. We have no idea. We can't understand the plans of God. And all the things, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, seek the Lord first and his righteousness and everything else that needs to be handled, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, the shelter over your, all that will be handled in his time. And the Lord will give us the strength. We won't be taxed to the point where we are exhausted. This world is exhausting. I'm telling you, there are people that are depressed because they are so sick of this world. They're getting up, working, putting in the grind, and at the end of the day, they ain't got nothing to show for it except anxiety and depression. And this world will tax you and use you up and throw you in the trash can. And Jesus said, if any man come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and that's this world system, and I will give rest unto your souls. And I sense him calling, and he's working at my heart to realize, like I said, my family doesn't need me. They need Jesus Christ, and I need to allow Jesus, his Holy Spirit, to motivate me and seek him in the morning. Lord, what would you have me to do? And focus on that. And everything else will take care of itself. I'm certain of that if we have the faith to allow Jesus to motivate us. Amen.
James Reeves once stopped me coming in the front door. I had shorts on, and I said, you're joking. He said, no. So I went and got pants on, but I've got shorts on today. Turn it over. I just want to read a passage. And over in 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is always one of my favorite passages, Scripture, talking about being connected, and then he was mentioning about he needs to stay in touch with the Lord, and it'll be enough for his wife and family and everything else. But anyway, this is an occasion where Elijah had a school for the prophets, and verse 1, it says, and this is chapter 6, verse 1, and the sons of the prophets said it to Elisha, behold, now the place which we dwell with thee is too straight for us, getting too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and they came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You know, I don't know much about axes, but this is so real to me, because you can't cut wood with a wooden stick. You can't cut wood. What cuts anything in our life is this iron that's attached to the stick. And what I wanted to bring out is I'm more familiar with rakes. So you're using a rake. You know when that rake is getting loose. You know when it's getting loose. You know when your axe head is getting loose. This guy didn't just lose the axe head. What really grieved him is he knew he needed to tighten it down at a certain point, and when he swung it, it went into the water. And this is indicative of our lives. The wood of our life, our humanity isn't enough. We got to be connected to the iron. This is what this passage is talking about. Anyway, what do you do if your axe head's loose? That's what I wanted to bring out. It says in verse 6, and the man of God, this is Elijah, he asked, and the very first thing he said, where did you lose it? And a lot of times when we get cold and stale and hardened, there was a point in time where that happened. You know, I don't know what it might have been. It might have been a personal relationship. Might have been a job, something financial. But he wanted him to go back and show him where he lost it. And he showed him the place, and he cut it down. He cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. That was a miracle. You know, it's a miracle. It is so... I don't know, Paul Campbell was sharing a testimony of somebody after 25 years. He touched their lives, and they were so hardened. And he was sharing the blessing he had. But I was just imagining the hearts of these people when the Lord softened their heart and what that must have been like. And this is what it's talking about. When the iron did swim, when he got that thing back, he said, take it up, and he took it up and put it in his hand. This truly happened, but I believe this is in there for a reason. We're a lot like sometimes we're instruments of the Lord. And our axe head, when it gets loose, it would be wise to spend some special time with the Lord. Holy Spirit is good about letting you know. You know, you're getting a little loose. Let's check. Just like he said, just like with me, I've always. Voice spent time in the Word early in the morning, you know, and there's times where I, you know, a couple of years ago, seemed like that business was getting tough, and I was getting out early and, you know, forgetting to do that, and I suffered from it. But I don't want, the good news is God knows when our axe head's getting loose, and we need it. We're trying to cut wood trying to cut any problems in our life with just our humanity. It's miserable for one thing, and the other thing, it's a failure. So I just get paid to read it, okay? So that's it.
I don't know what I'm going to say. Lord had me get up here, but I lost it coming up. But, you know, I've been in church a long time. Feel like I should be a lot further along than I am, and I find myself I'm not where I want to be, and I know the good Lord is going to, he's drawing me, he's helping me, and kind of like what Patrick was saying, feel like I've had a really good sharp chainsaw, you know, it's top of the line, but it ain't doing no cutting, and I take it back to the Lord, and he said, well, I'll see what's wrong here. And he cranks it up, and I say, what's that noise? You know? That's the power, you know? And I think sometimes I've, in my mind spiritually, I've had the form of godliness, but denying that power, you know? And the Lord's, I hope and pray that God is teaching me that the power I need, I'm 70, almost 76. I don't have that many days. I don't know how long I've got left. But what I've got left, I'm like, Josh, I want to have my priorities right at this moment, going forward and forgetting about all the things behind me, forgetting about all my failures. Amen. You know, but Lord, you're drawing me and you're going to take me You're going to take me to the other side and the side with you. I appreciate my brothers here, and I know I'm in a place. This is where my help is. This is where the power is, the power of life and death. The Lord and my brothers, this is my dwelling place. I appreciate being here. Praise God.
I'm kind of tickled to be a simple person, so I got a simple thought that came to me. When Stevie was talking, it was like a little nugget that I'm surprised it didn't come to him that he could have added on to what he was saying. He said, prayer is not a duty, it's a privilege. You know, and that's so rich if we let it be. If we really have faith in the God of this universe has time to hear me, that's good, but it's real good. The thought I had was, it's not just prayer is not a duty but a privilege. It's giving our lives to God, serving God, serving others, doing whatever. It's not a duty. It's a blessed privilege. You know, it takes a lot of pressure off of me to not have to try to do anything as a duty, but to just do it because I got faith that that's who I am. And the only scripture that came to me was the servant back in, I guess it's Exodus or Numbers, who by law, after so many years, he could leave. You know, he was indentured. He could leave after 6 years, but he had an option. He could stay. And he said, okay, the law back then was we'll put an awl through your ear so that you'll be identified as one who decided. And he willingly said, yeah, I'll serve you forever. He had a vision that the one he was serving was a great master, and all he wanted to do was just serve him. He was content to do that. No more striving. I'm just serving you because you're a great master. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of the body of Christ and be with a lot of people who I think may not have had that simple thought, but agree with it. Praise the Lord.
I profusely apologize for getting up here again. I meant to share something, and I forgot. But are y'all thankful for this meeting? We're working this week. Joel and I So, you know, I know you probably, before you come to these services, you want to spend time in prayer and talk to the Lord. You know, it's a good thing. And I'd gone out, and what surprised me, this area I walked through the woods there, it was like immediately, you know, it says we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be expressed. Amen. What happened? I went out there 5 minutes, and it's like the Spirit of the Lord came down. And I was just overwhelmed with God's goodness and mercy. And I thought, Lord, you're going to do something in this meeting. If you're preparing us to even pray because we don't know how to pray, that means you're going to answer prayer. Do you believe that? Yes. And the first service we had, did the Lord meet with us? Yes. Absolutely. But I was walking around, and these clouds started coming over, and this breeze came up, and it was kind of hot. And man, there's nothing like being in the presence of God. It's not the breeze, it's not the clouds, it's the Spirit of the living God. When we enter into that and we're with him, he empowers us. And another thing, we know him better. Is there a reason he brings us into his presence? We're actually partaking of him. But anyway, this is what I want to share. The next evening I went out there, and the first thing I did, I said, Lord, thank you. I want to thank you for just helping me pray yesterday evening. With a passion and a fervency to where I knew it was you. And I just thank you for what you're doing for us. And I thank him for helping us in the service. I thank him for helping us in every one of these services, including the second one that was a little bit uncomfortable. God's working. Right? And I was out there, and I just started thanking him for what he was doing for us, what he's doing for others, how he's working in our midst, how he's helping us. And I said, Lord, by the way, those little clouds and breeze you gave me yesterday, would you mind maybe hit me with that again? And I mean, I kind of said it as in a laughing way, but you know, God is our Father. I looked up and there was one white cloud about this big. And where I walked through there, you know, going through the trees and there's sunny spots, so it's a little uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, if we have to walk through the desert with no umbrella, no sunscreen, in the blazing sun, God is worthy of us seeking Him. I mean, it does not matter. It is not about comfort. It is about His Spirit and His presence and Him leading us. You know, what did He tell Moses? My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Without His presence, we can't have rest. We're going to have anxiety. Anyway, I was praying and talking to Him, and I'm just thankful when He does that for us, you know. My prayer's not always the same, but it's like two evenings in a row, I was just overwhelmed with the goodness of God and Him enabling me to pray. And I'm not a prayer warrior necessarily. I'm still having to learn how to yield myself to Him. Are we still having to learn how to yield ourselves in every area of our life? Does anybody here still have issues in their life that you don't see resolved yet? They may have been there for decades. If you're honest, I'll be honest about it. And I know you'll be honest too. We still need Jesus. Amen. The sanctification process is a process. It's a process. But it's real. And the one who said He was going to do it is going to complete it. And but anyway, I'm praying. It was funny. I started seeing it cloudy. And I look up. And there's like a cloud that's going like 500 foot that way. 500 foot that way instead of point, and it's going right into the sun, and it went way back there. And here comes this cloud, and the whole area was just blanketed with this cool cloud, and here came a breeze. You know what touched me about it? God loves us enough to listen. He wants to direct us by His Spirit, but you know He cares intimately about us? And some of you say, well, that's just an accident. It was no accident. God was saying, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but God is real, and He is our Father. And He was like saying, do you see what I can do? You know, does He love us that much? Not just us. He loves others. And that's part of what He's doing is enabling us as we stay in His presence to be a help and a light to others. I know that's not some great miracle, but it touched me. You know, God is good, is He not? I apologize again for getting up twice, but praise the Lord.
I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to share this or not. Then Steve got up and said what he said, and my heart was about to beat out of my chest, but I said, okay, Lord, I'll try it again. You know, we can take and put yesterday in the past. It's in the past. It's gone. And we can stretch forth our hand to the Lord for today. The power I need today. We can put the shortcomings. We can put the failure and the character defects where they belong in the past. Because the power that we need is available right now. Jesus Christ is in the now, is where He's at. He's in the now, the right now. And whatever you need or I need, it is in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to walk this walk with the Lord and not get spankings, you got something coming. You got some lessons to learn. Because whom the Lord loveth, and He scourges, He prunes, even the ones putting out fruit get pruned. Good gracious. I'm glad that the Lord is not leaving me. It's personal where I'm at, but He's helping me. And He's helping me. These things that happened yesterday or to help me right now. Because if you listen to the devil, he'll try to keep you right back there. Because he don't want you where the Lord's at, and that's right now. And I'm going to tell you, we can go to the Lord, and we can draw out everything we need. And I pray the Lord When I hear these messages coming from Brother Phil, I'm just that he will give me pause in my day when I get in these situations to think about what he's telling me here. Because too often I don't get the pause that I need in situations. And I will say this too, sometimes I get them and I go my own way anyway. I've been there and done that too, more than I want to admit. But Jesus Christ is in the right now. We all have needs, and we can ask the Lord to help us in our needs and give us what we don't have. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I ain't got it. I ain't got what it takes to serve the Lord. God has got, in some way, shape, or form, has got to change my want to. And I thank God that he works on it and doesn't leave me where I'm at. And he does the things that he needs to do. But that was the one thought. But the other thought was what Steve was talking about in prayer. Something happened to me in my own prayer meetings. I can't tell you when, but it was several months ago. And it really didn't hit me to one day. But it was what was being said. And I really didn't realize at the time, but it kept coming back in my prayer. It would come up. And I guess it has something to do with the fact that when I worked at the ministry, I was aware of these different missionary things that were going on around us out in the world. And I knew just a little bit, and I knew about some of the works going on in, you know, in China and Africa and certain places. But I found myself, because these places, they really... they really have Jesus Christ on steroids because of where they're at and what they're going through. And they have just incredible freedom in Christ, though they're going through all these afflictions. And what was coming out in the prayer that really just is, you know, what I was praying was, Lord, help them. Help them to stand in these persecutions. And help them to stand in these afflictions. We all got them. And help them to stand in these trials and tribulations for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because all too often, we want to pray ourselves out into a good life. We want to pray ourselves out of circumstances and conditions. Well, I do. But this kept coming out in my prayer. And one day I was just, you start thinking about what you're saying, you know, and I'm going, Lord, as much as they need that, I need it too. I need to learn to stand in my afflictions for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And I need to learn to stand in my trials and tribulations for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And I need to stand, learn to stand in persecution for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And when you think about what Paul was talking about, when I am weak, yet I am strong. I tell you what, it's a blessing of God when he brings you to a place where you don't know what to do or what to go or nothing, but you know God quickens a word and you know what you need to do. And sometimes that is just to stand. To stand. Because one day we're going to leave this world and we're going to go through that veil that he split between us and God, and we're going to pass through there like it was nothing. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. I think that's what we ought to keep our eye on. Because when you got your eye in the right place, it's a little bit easier to handle some of these things. I know I go through them. Y'all pray for me and my mom. We both know how to get on each other's nerves, and it's a trial sometimes, but she needs my help, and she needs me to be there. And I thank God that he has given me and her this opportunity to be there for each other. I guarantee you, she would have never thought that I would have been the one put in this place. God is working on her, too. But praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate this. Something Ricky said, I've been reading the words of this chorus. I just want to share it because I believe it encapsulates exactly what we need this morning. We know this song. We sing the words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. That tells me it's a choice. You've got to turn your eyes, what you're looking at, onto the right stuff. Turn your eyes. That makes it personal. Upon Jesus, he's the answer. Look full in his wonderful face. I tell you, your eye is single. You're looking only on him. You're not distracted by everything that's going on. You're not consumed, as Josh was saying, with the things of this life that we have to go through. We've got a purpose. We're here for a reason. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. God help us to get to that point. I believe he is. He's drawing us closer. In the light of his glory and grace. And I thought about this song. It's the last verse that just kept going over and over in my ears. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him and all will be well. Why? Then go to a world that's dying. Do you know this world is dying? Why is he telling us to turn our eyes upon him? Because this world is dying. There's people out there in this world, in this community, and in this world that need what's in this building when we meet together. God help us to realize the importance of what we have. His perfect salvation to tell. That's why we're here. We're here to tell and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And it is the good news. So, praise God. That's what I wanted to share. Just let's get our eyes on him. And I tell you, he'll lead us in everything we do from there. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I appreciate everything that's been shared. I thought of a scripture in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11. And this was a battle that they were facing in the Old Testament there. But I believe the Lord showed me that it can apply to us today. And it says, then, I think it's Asa, he called to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. And I thought about that in an illustration that Phil gave a while back about how, you know, nowadays they have power tools and how your drop cord can be plugged into the house and you got power. But if you unplug that, and Phil illustrated that, you know, the house is the Lord and how we need to be plugged into him. If you unplug that and try to go use your tool, it's not going to work. But if we plug into the Lord and stay connected with him, we're going to have his power to go through us, and we'll be able to face the mighty things in this life through him. And it says, help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. And in your name, we have come against this vast army. And right there, I thought of something Josh said, like that's our self that we're facing, you know. But if we're plugged into him, relying on him, we can overcome. It says, Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere mortals prevail against you. And there was one other comment I had. Somebody mentioned how we need to stay connected with the Lord and how he'll direct us if we're not connected to him. And I thought of a situation I had a while back. The Lord, he'll point, not that if we mess up, but he'll point out, like, he'll get our attention. And I had a little bit of, like, unforgiveness, and I guess I disagreed with one of the brothers. And I went home, and things were just kind of going wrong with the kids and everything. And I just prayed, and I was like, Lord, you know, and I started, like, trying to come against the enemy. And next thing I know, the dishwasher started beeping, and there was a that was going wrong. And it's like the Lord showed me, you know, you got a little bit of unforgiveness here. You need to go address your brother. And so once I did that, the Lord, things started, like, you know, calming down. And it's like he said, you need to forgive him, and then you'll be connected to me again. And so hope that helps someone. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I'm thankful this morning as we got to share a little bit. We had a chance to share about some of the different opportunities the Lord's given and doors he's opening for different things. But, you know, the reason I believe what's being shared here and what the Lord is emphasizing is our need to depend on him and to be connected to him. You know, he can't give us those opportunities until that preparatory work is done, because until we realize how much we need him, we're not ready to move into the things that he would put before us to do. So there's a teaching, there's a preparation, there's an answering of prayer he's been doing to then prepare us for opportunities he's opening up now. And I was thinking, you know, as Josh was speaking earlier, talking about his family, I know a thought the Lord made real to me years ago when my kids were small. Because, you know, you become a parent and you think about all the things you need to do and be, you know, for them that you're not in yourself. But the thought the Lord made very real to me is, regardless of my intentions and sincerity or whatever, I can't give them something that I don't have. And that's where I think the Lord can help us to take that thought and say, I need to go to you, Lord, to get what I need for those that you would have me minister to and give me opportunity to minister to. Because it's kind of like that parable Jesus gave about the man whose friend came to him, and he wanted to put something before him. He wanted to serve his friend and provide his, you know, provide food for him, provide sustenance. But he had to reckon with the fact and realize, I don't have anything to give him. I just don't. The only answer is I've got to go somebody who does have something and get it from them. And I don't care how inconvenient it is, and I don't care how long it takes. There is no plan B because I have nothing, you know, and that's the kind of place that I believe once we're in that place, that may feel like a weak place, but I tell you what, that's where his strength is made perfect, is in our weakness. Because when we realize, Lord, if I'm going to do what you've set before me, I've got to go to you and get it because it's not here. That is a place of strength, because he wants to make his self known and his self real. And if we go to him, he, just like the scripture says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children and desire to do that, how much more will he give his spirit to them that are asking him? And I believe he's helping us to do that and feel that need. And but at the same time with that need, he's lifting up, I am the answer. I've provided for that need. And, you know, I was thinking about we mentioned this recently in a service, but about the occasion where he fed the 5,000 with the, you know, couple of fish and the couple loaves of bread. You know, it wasn't much, but what brought my mind to it is something we often experience when the Lord maybe puts opportunities or brings things our way. You know, the disciples said, because Jesus was saying, you know, well, what are we going to feed people with? You know, we got all these people here. What are we going to do? What are we going to feed them with? And one of the disciples said, well, there's this little boy here. He's got some lunch. Somebody's mom was thinking to pack lunch for somebody. Somebody thought ahead. Mom was thinking ahead. Gave him a little food to take with him. But what did the disciples say? He said, but what are they among so many? You know, how many times does that get in our way? You know, we see a need, whether it's looking in here and seeing a need, or whether it's looking in somebody we're concerned about and seeing a need, whether there's a ministry opportunity and we see a need, we can be like, well, Lord, you know, I want to, and you've given us some stuff and you've done some things, but what is that among the scope of the need? But you know what God proved on that occasion was, you just give me what you've got. I'll multiply. I'll take care of meeting the need. You don't have to meet the need. Your place is to just yield. Seek me. Yield what you have to me. I'll meet the need. And we talked about this recently. You know, there was 5,000 on that particular occasion. But I asked the question, what if there had been 100? Well, not only that, there was 5,000, and then there was some left over to make the point that it wasn't like it just barely was enough. It was abundantly enough to feed the 5,000. But what if there had been 100 people there? Well, then there would have been enough to feed 100 people with some left over to make the point. What if there had been 1 million people there? There would have been enough to feed 1 million people with a little bit left over to make the point. It was the thing is, the size of the need is no barrier to God. That the same power of God that feeds the 100 people miraculously, that's the same power of God that feeds the 1 million people miraculously. So the same grace and power of God that enables us to maybe connect with a single person and touch that person's life and be a difference to them, that's the exact same power of God that enables somebody to preach to 1 million people and God touch souls all over that place. It's not a different power. There's not different levels of God's presence. It is simply there's enough to meet the need. Because the opportunity I provide, I provided it. I've led you here, and it's my power that meets the need, and it's enough for the need, whatever that need is, big or small. So, you know, as we go forward and are asking for God to give us these opportunities, you know, let's have that faith in our hearts to say, Father, if we just go to you, and just like that man who needed the bread to give to his friend, I've got nothing. I'm going to go to you. And that's what we have to say is, Lord, I can't do it. It's got to be from you. And not only that, not only is there no plan B in that sense, plan A, I don't even want to move in plan A until you say move. Because even when a thing is God's will, we still need his time, don't we? We talked about that this morning. There's some things we prayed about for a long time that are just now we're beginning to move in. We've come into contact with another ministry we've been able to partner with lately, and they were talking about how God started things years back that are just now coming to fruition. So praise God, I want plan A, but I don't even want to move in plan A until he says it's time. But then when it's time, regardless of what that need is, regardless of what you and I opportunities are that he puts before us, it's the same power of God that speaks to that one heart as it is that power of God that feeds the 5,000, as it is that power of God that ministers to the 1 million, as it is that same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same God, the same power, same ability, and it will be enough to meet the need, whatever that need is. As long as we're conscious that, Father, I got to go to you to get what I need. And I believe he's making that real, and that's why he's also bringing up opportunities. Because if we learn that, then we're ready to step into what he's prepared. It's not about what we can do for him. It's about how we are ready to step into what he's already prepared. That's a privilege. Praise God.
So you take something, if you call a bear or a lion small, and then the Philistine, a giant, it's the same power. It's the same power at work. No matter how small something is or how big it is, it's the power of God that's working in us and through us and helping us to overcome this stuff. So anyway, that made me think about that. And I thought about when Kenny was up here talking about, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I thought about, and I know some of the, I guess I'm considered an old timer now here at the church, but some of the ones that were here, I know Paul back there when they were going through the situation with Judy. And a lot of, I remember one time in particular, even though I was like 6, 7 years old, when they were dealing with Judy, Brother Thomas would say, look at me. Do you remember that, Paul? He'd say, look at me. And she would turn. And he would speak to the devil. And he'd say, why do you not want her to look at me? Do you remember what the devil said? She draws strength from you. I tell you what, we need to get our eyes on the Lord. I thought about Peter. When they saw Jesus walking on the water, you know, they thought it was, you know, some spirit or something like that. And Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Come on, Peter. He got out there. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on that water. But then he started looking at the winds and the waves, he began to sink. That's a picture of us. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. and we will draw strength from him. As long as we look at him, and this world will fade away. Look at him. That light will become brighter and brighter. And getting back to what Ben said, it's that same power that will help us. He will give us the strength and the power to keep our eyes and our minds set on him. Amen.
Use the word nugget, and so that pushed me up here. Because it's just a nugget, but I believe it's a vital nugget, if you will. It's something the Lord is doing for us as a body. And when I say as a body, all four assemblies and those that would be with us from other assemblies or ministries, we're one in Christ. I had this thought as Donald was speaking there, talking about looking, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, looking full in his wonderful face. And I said, Lord, you are doing that for us in this relationship. But praise God, he is also doing that for us in this relationship. As we look into our brother and our sister's face, God is helping us to see Christ, to see our precious Lord and Savior in our brother and in our sister, to be able to receive each other right where we are, to be able to, yes, help correct each other, but encourage each other, and helping us to pray for each other and receive each other right where we're at, because it is Christ in us, our hope of glory. That's the mystery of the fellowship. That's what he's called us to in this relationship, and in this relationship that forms the cross, doesn't it? He gave himself for us because he loves us beyond measure, and he's bringing that, he's working that in our hearts, to be able to see him in one another, to love each other as he loves us. And I tell you what, as that happens and we are made more one in him, we're going to be able to encourage and strengthen and help one another to press on in this good fight of faith, and to be a church, to be a individual that's a vessel meet for the master's use. We are so blessed to be a part of the family of God. Praise God.
I have been here all three nights, and I have got something out of each night. But I think, from what I've listened to and heard, that God's mercy and miracles show us every day how we should be more in line with the Lord. From Jesse's baby to Ricky fighting his drugs, even Jane telling us her story again. But all I seem to get out of it is God's got mercy on each and every one of us. Every single day. That's all I got to say.
Lord, give us patience in that process. Sometimes we're impatient with ourselves. And I tell you, God's faithful, though. I tell you, this has been wonderful here this morning. Appreciate everybody having faith to share. And I tell you what, if you didn't share, you were sharing in spirit, weren't you? A hearty amen to the Lord ministering. If you didn't get up here, everybody was participating, and I know that, and I appreciate that. Appreciate the faith. Gene had to get up here. Lord honored that. I tell you what, he is a merciful God. If there's one thing we can all say, and if it means us limping up here and saying it, he's been merciful to us, and we know that. We thank God for that. Praise God. I did have this verse that closed out. I think it's be a really good verse to close out with what we've heard here today, and it's 1 Corinthians 2, and the thought I had, the reason the scripture came to me, is the Lord's been doing this in my heart because I have a tendency to limit God my own life about, well, he does this, okay, well, he spoke to me here, I've gotten here, okay, and I unplug a little bit. I'm just being honest, and if you're one of these, I tell you what, it's going to expose maybe a little bit of what the enemy maybe has done to you, but then we plug back into the service, Lord gives us strength, and we pray, we go through something. He fills us. We have a certain capacity, and we're like, praise God. Then we unplug. And we limit God. Help us not to limit him, what he wants to do in our lives. Do I know exactly what he wants to do all in my life, in your life? No, but he wants to do it every day. He wants to do a little bit every day. Y'all believe that? And I tell you what, I appreciate, I want to say this, I appreciate those, I'm not going to mention names, those that have a steadfastness in the word and prayer. I can say I don't have that like I should. I appreciate your faithfulness. You're an inspiration to me and others. And you know what? That is the pattern for all of us. I'm not exalting those that are doing it. I know it is by grace that those that are have a consistent day-to-day prayer life, that are in the word day-to-day, I appreciate that in you. And we need you. And God, that is ministering to us. That faith that you're saying that God's helping me to connect day by day, that's ministering to me because I have a need to grow in that area. Amen. I appreciate that. But I want to read this verse. It's over in 1 Corinthians 1:2. Take this verse and just encapsulate everything that's been said. This will help us to move forward. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind can conceive. We have our own minds that we can conceive things. The things that God has prepared for us who love him. Praise God. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Is that something to take home on and just let him lead day by day? I believe so.